Annie E. Casey Foundation.
All right, you guys, everybody say hi. So we're in Tempe right now. We're going to another mosque. This is in, where is it, Tempe City?
Right in downtown Tempe by ASU.
Downtown Tempe by ASU.
And there's a store next to it.
And there's a store. And it sells burkas. You guys, this is in America. This is happening. Sharia law in America does not comply with our U.S. Constitution. And any feminist out there that is claiming women don't have equal rights, get off your butt and start fighting against Sharia.
Good morning and welcome to Two Talk. This is your host, Samar Jarrah. We're going to be having a very interesting show. This is an incident that took place on March 4th in Tempe, Arizona. Stay tuned. Listen to this beautiful music by Jordanian. Her name is Farah Siraji, and she's singing with Nepalese Noo Annie Xiong, and this song is like a huge hit. Listen to it. We're going to be opening the phone lines maybe at 10:30 after you listen to a short interview in this segment. Enjoy the music. Welcome back to True Talk. I hope you enjoyed this interesting music. As I mentioned, it's by Jordanian Farah Siraji, and she's singing with Nepalese Noon Ani Shoyang. And the music actually is composed by A. Rahman, the Indian, famous composer who won an Oscar for the best music for Slumdog Millionaire, if I'm not mistaken. I will post this song on Facebook page. If you go to Facebook/True Talk Radio, you will find that I post all these things that I play, whether the radio show. We are actually transmitting live now on Facebook. If you go to Facebook/SamarJarrah, you will be watching too. And on Facebook, I do play and post summary of the True Talk radio shows, like last week's interview with Mustafa Bayoumi, and the week before, the African American narrative of the Muslim American narrative, Black American narrative of the Black Month, like we had last week. So all this is on Facebook page /True Talk Radio. You can also see the music. I link to the music that we play. So many people keep asking me about the music. I was able to contact Farah Siraji, and she's in the U.S. I'm not sure which state. She's in the U.S., and she finally answered me 2 days ago and promised to be on the show. So I'm just thinking whether to have her live, like have a radio interview live, and pick the music that she would like to talk about, because this is very interesting, the one that I played. She's Jordanian, and she's singing with a Nepalese woman, and the people in the background, the music is in Hindi, is Indian. So I really don't know what they're saying with the other parts other than the Arabic. I know what they're saying in the Arabic. She's actually playing very traditional Jordanian songs. We're going to have Farah Siraji sometime in April. I'll let you know. But I'm just wondering if I should have it as a live radio show or tape it and then play it. So you have to tell me that. You can always reach us at truetalk@wmnf.org. truetalk@wmnf.org. But while on the air, like now, you can always send me emails to dj@wmnf.org. dj@wmnf.org. And when we open the phone lines, you can always call. But I don't think I'm gonna open the phone lines until maybe 10:30. Something very disturbing happened on March for two ladies, where accompanied their three kids, minor kids, and a dog, to raid, to do a sharia, what they call a sharia raid, to a mosque in Tempe, Arizona. And these two ladies, I'll let you listen to this sharia raid, and then I'm going to be interviewing a gentleman who found about this, because this was put on YouTube, on Facebook, and was seen by God knows how many thousands of people, and something happened later on. So this is March 4. These two ladies, and they do mention their names, and I'm going to be opening the phone lines to get your feedback after we discuss it with Imran Siddiqui. This is WMNF 88.5 FM, and if you're just joining us, you're going to be listening to some disturbing Sharia raid on Tempe Mosque in Arizona. You can send your comments to dj@wmnf.org while I am playing this segment. So here it is.
And it sells burqas, you guys. This is in America. This is happening. Sharia law in America does not comply with our U.S. Constitution. And any feminist out there that is claiming women don't have equal rights, get off your butt and start fighting against Sharia, because that's where the real problem is. Sharia does not have any place here in America. So we're going to go show you. We're going to go get as much information as we can. You guys, they're even offering houses to Muslims who, under Sharia, qualify for some, you know what, special program. And how does that happen? Because we get corrupt elected officials into office. Just like that one that's running. What's her name? You know what?
Deidre
Boot. Muslim. Running. And I don't think she has a chance, but she's still trying to make her way in. You guys, this is a threat that we're facing in America. Sharia law is not acceptable in America at all.
Here's ASU.
Okay, so we're going to flip around the screen, you guys. Okay. Here we are in the nice, yep, go ahead, Liz. Hey, Patriot, this is my girl. Liz does all the hard work. She's the one out here exposing these mosques. That's you, Liz. Go ahead.
I try to expose them.
You are, girl.
So I get to drive around here a lot, and I see what's going on. And there's a lot of people from Arabic countries coming to get an education at ASU. So they have built themselves a beautiful blue and white mosque, and there's pamphlets here, which we're going to get. Me and Tanya are going to go in and get. And Josh and Cadence.
And look at this car full of infidels. Rock on, infidels.
Woo! I got your little flags down here, little infidels.
Yep, that's right.
Anyway, so yeah, we're going to go and grab a bunch of pamphlets. And some of the pamphlets talk about Islamic training camps in America. And Palestinian pro rallies in America. And if you've got government assistance, there's lists of people that can get you more government assistance.
Oh, wow.
Then there's the Muslim Defense League that, if you feel like you've been treated wrongly as a Muslim, they use our constitution against us to sue us.
Wow. Use our own constitution against us.
Yep.
Wow.
Wait till you see this.
And all of these sympathizers, look at this, you guys. We're in right here, ASU. This is Tempe.
Holding Yoma.
In Arizona, okay? Look at how, I mean, this is a nice suburban city here, right? I mean, look at how nice it is, okay? Now, they have a mosque in here. And there's so much assistance, exactly like the illegals. Illegals get everything. Yep. The Muslims get everything. Yep. We in America, as American citizens, need to stand up and fight against this lawlessness that's going on.
There's information in here about the halal food thing. Also.
Okay, so there's information about in here?
Where we're going.
Okay, and oh, in the mosque. There's not only there's assistance, food, housing, right?
Yep.
Oh, wow, they get everything for free. Meanwhile, and they even say that they can't have jobs because it goes against their religion. So
they pray to Mecca four times a day.
So that's how they end up on welfare and off of our taxpayer money.
Alright. Look on the left.
Oh, you guys see it? There it is. Look at this, you guys. Here in Arizona, Tempe, Arizona.
College town,
and we have a mosque right in the middle.
Make sure you tag me in that.
Absolutely. I'm gonna
This is a lot. The Sam's.
Here it is,
market.
You guys.
This is where you can buy your burkas.
Oh, how cool. They even have their own shopping stores.
There's 111 Islamic shopping centers.
111 shopping.
Oh, it's
Islamic
today.
Oh, Sunday.
They must worship the Antichrist on Sunday. Oh, there's some people here. That's okay. We're just going to go in and grab some pamphlets and there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Should we all go in, kids and everything?
The gate's closed. Is it closed? Hopefully we can get in there. Okay. We're going
tell
inside
the
gate right there.
Okay.
Tell the Muslims to call me a cow. I'll tell them you.
Leave the dogs here, you guys. I'll take still pictures.
Okay. Oh, wow, you guys, check this out right here. All right, look at this. Halal meats. Look at this. This is their own market right here in Tempe. We're right here in Tempe, Arizona, Jessica. Right behind ASU. Hungry. So this is the other. I'm walking towards the other market right here. Let's see what they have. Turkish. Okay, so that market was over there. So you guys,
Yep, in DeBorn. Yep, I know you guys in Michigan. It's out of control. They're literally the illegal invasion of Muslims. Just like here in the Southwest, we face the illegal invasion of illegals everywhere. But look at this, you guys.
Over here.
Look no, at, but no.
What is this 666 shit?
Wow, look at this. Six. Six. And on the other side, you're going to get another six behind it. Yep. That's the devil, the mark of the devil.
So if this was open, the burkas are over here in this corner. You can kind of see them hanging out.
Let me get a little more of this one.
I think there's another window over there we can look in. And if this was open, right here is a bookshelf of all a bunch of Muslim propaganda.
Wow, you guys.
Mommy, they buy their chicken
halal meats. Look at that. Halal meats. Here in America, you guys, they use our own constitution against us if they feel that we have threatened or mistreated them.
Can't see the burkas from here.
Uh-uh.
All right, let's go to the mosque and start grabbing
pizza. That's hilarious. Look at that ugly moon. There it is.
Where?
Right there. No, all right, let's go, you guys. Everybody stay alert. Look at this. Yep, look at the moon up there, you guys.
This is totally everyone say move to the Muslims.
Islamic Community Center funeral.
Oh, wow, look at. They have their own funeral. They have their everything, their own. Come on, Josh. Take clothes.
Good morning and welcome to True Talk. If you're just joining us, this is True Samar Jarrah on WMNF True Talk, and you were listening to a video that was like 24 minutes uploaded on Facebook since March 4. And it, you were listening to the nice part of it. It gets worse and worse in few minutes. But to talk about it and the latest development that happened yesterday is Imran Siddiqui, who is executive director of CARE Arizona. Good morning, Imran.
Good morning. How are you?
I am very good, alhamdulillah, given that I had to listen to this all yesterday and this morning. Tell me, Imran, how did you know about this Facebook Sharia raid, they call it?
Yeah, so, I mean, we're familiar with the larger group of people that these two ladies belong to. There's something called the Arizona Patriot movement that is this loose configuration of just Trump supporters basically who have essentially resolved to go and confront and try to intimidate anybody who they deem to be, I would say enemies of Trump. So CARE Arizona shows up on that list. You would have Latino groups. You would have, African-American groups as well. Any sort of marginalized community or minority who they feel is against the Trump administration's ideals. And so these people, like the similar group protested outside of our banquet in November. It wasn't these individuals who were in this specific video, but you could see this sort of going in the wrong direction. And then a few of the individuals from this group also came to our offices trying to get in when we were out of the office. So sort of a disturbing history, and then we were tipped off that this took place by somebody on Facebook. They actually downloaded the video and shared it on their own individual account. It was definitely disturbing.
So, Imran, part of what the ladies are saying are things that you and I have read maybe through these mass and chain emails that have been circulating since I came to this country and since, the creation of internet and email and all that. For instance, when they say, we pray, she says four times, and that we worship the devil and Could you like mention the things that they said that I think are a sign of ignorance, but also a propaganda that we have been exposed to for a very long time by Islamophobes? So to me, I find that these two ladies are example of what we have been crying all this time, the past 15 years, that the, you know, this information that's flowing on the internet, the misinformation flowing on the internet, and these two ladies are the result. So could you explain that?
Yeah, I mean, even the concept of Islamophobia, you know, so that, that would be like the irrational fear of Islam and Muslims. You know, it didn't start even with 9/11, I would say. It probably goes back even, you know, to the time of the 80s and even before that. So there's always been different forms of Islamophobia, even pre-9/11, where, you know, you would have people like the Pat Robertsons of the world or the Jimmy Swaggart, the John Hagee's, like, televangelists, like, saying that Muslims worship a moon god and Muslims worship the devil, and, you know, using all this type of just negative propaganda. And this sort of, these falsehoods have just perpetuated over time. You know, in the time of the 80s and 90s, these, you know, were sort of low-key, but a lot of people, you know, in influential positions utilize Islamophobia to stoke that fear of Muslims. Post-9/11, you see it becoming an industry, so then people realize that, hey, I can get rich off of this type of, you know, this type of misinformation and, you know, spreading lies and fear about Islam. You know, they worship a, you know, moon god or, you know, these late, I mean, you can even see in the conversation with the little kids on this video, oh, the Muslims, you know, smell like goats, they smell bad and they don't shower and all these just type of negative things as they pass by the flyers on the wall. It's to some extent, it's just like they're so full of hatred and propaganda against Muslims that they were just making stuff up as they go along. They see something for a tax preparation company, you know, April 15th is coming around the corner, so somebody put up a flyer for tax preparation, like, oh, Muslims are trying to figure out how to, you know, get free handouts from the government and so on and so forth, and just using every single thing that was up on the wall against them, you know. And so, you know, there's a humanitarian organization that had a flyer on the wall, and they're saying, oh, this is like a indoctrination event and so on and so forth. So it's really sad, but you can see, like, in this age of social media, how people can easily be swayed by this information. And if you want to stay in a bubble of your own information, you don't want to be exposed to people who have different views than you. Now in the age of Facebook and Twitter and social media, you can stay in those bubbles and, you know, sort of pick and choose what type of information you get. So if you want to really get information that's hateful about Muslims and Islam and Arabs and people of different racial makeup or different ethnic backgrounds, you can continue to get that information on your Facebook feed all day and just sort of reinforce these prejudiced viewpoints.
One of the things the lady said, and by the name, her last name is Gonzalez, and I find it very, very ironic that her last name is Gonzalez, and this strikes me as, I'm not very aware if it's a Mexican name, but it's a Latin American name. And, you know, the people she claims to belong to don't like immigrants very much, especially if their last name is Gonzalez. But anyways, she mentions, oh, Muslims can't work, so they live on welfare. That's why they live on welfare, because their Sharia doesn't allow them to work. I mean, where do they get these things from?
Yeah, I mean, it's just somebody who's blinded by so much hate. You know, and that's one of the, what you mentioned, you know, there's people of all racial makeups who belong to these different groups. You know, people from Arizona, there could be people who are like 6th, 7th generation, from different backgrounds, and that may contribute to it. It's a very small minority of people. You know, there are even Muslims who belong to anti-Muslim movements as well, as we're very well aware of here in Arizona. But at the same time, it's just complete ignorance and falsehood. You know, and that's really what this Arizona Patriot movement is made up of. That is one of the sort of scary things. You know, these people thrive off of anti-intellectualism, and this is the one thing that I would say here is that, like, you know, Trump isn't the source of Islamophobia, as we all know, because this has been going on even through the Obama years and even before, way before that as well. But Trump has sort of given an umbrella for a lot of these people to gather underneath. And, you know, his sort of anti-intellectual, you know, viewpoints and, you know, anti-education, you know, you can basically lie about anything now in these days. And that's really an interesting sort of turn for a lot of the right wing, because you have people who belong to, let's say, the religious right, who have some sort of moral underpinning in what they're trying to do. In a lot of the things that they're doing, they're misinformed, but they're, you know, they're at least, there's some intellectualism that exists there. But this new sort of alt-right that exists is, you know, it's sort of taken the faith and, you know, things like that out of the equation. And so these people are just like, you know, without any sort of any reason to keep any type of moral high ground, unfortunately. That's the direction I see this going.
If you're just joining us, this is True Talk on WMNF, and I'm talking to Imran Siddiqui, who is Executive Director of CARE Arizona, and we are discussing a very disturbing video. It's called Sharia Raid on Tempe Mosque in Arizona. Something happened yesterday, Imran.
Yeah, so, alhamdulillah, so the video's been out since March 4th, and, you know, the mosque that was trespassed against, they reported it to police pretty quickly, but it seemed as though the case was not really known to the public until, you know, we sort of raised the awareness on it. So I think this helps mount more pressure. You know, this became a global story. Our video that we publish on our Hate Hurts platform has gotten 100,000 views, you know, through the different platforms. So thankfully, alhamdulillah, we got notification that both of these women were arrested by Tempe police yesterday, and they're being charged with, you know, class six felony, like third degree burglary. And what the police also said is that they may add hate crime charges to what they did, because this took place at a house of worship. It was premeditated. And, you know, I mean, the funny thing is that these people did it all on Facebook. They incriminated themselves on Facebook Live to get likes and shares and so on and so forth. So they sort of, you know, everything, all the information was there for the police, basically, their names, you know, their intent, the crimes that they committed. And so, yeah, now they're in Tempe jail. I'm not sure if they've been bailed out yet, but, yeah, I mean, they've been sort of derailed from this little campaign they had.
The scary part is that they accompanied minors with them, and they were, for instance, the little girl jumped on a funeral car, and she said, "Oh no, stay away, this is all germs, and they smell like goats, and don't get on the playground because it's full of germs." I mean, what kind of upbringing is she doing, or these two ladies are doing? But I want you to imagine, Imran, if a Muslim family or two friends took their kids to a church and did that, how would we have more media coverage?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is what was the most, you know, disturbing thing about the video, the most, you know, the thing that shakes people the most. You know, as a parent, you can notice the innocence that existed in the children that were prominently featured in the video. You know, if I went to this mosque, and I go frequently with my children to this mosque, they've grown up there, you know, they would be walking alongside us and playing and, you know, just like looking around the same way that these kids would be walking around. But in this video, the parents were trying to indoctrinate the children with hate, and were really, you know, steering the kids towards this biased viewpoint of Islam and Muslims, and encouraging them to insult them, and, you know, all this type of stuff. And this is, I mean, we don't see this as in real time happening. You know, we ask ourselves the question, how does hate pass from generation to generation? You know, and you see it up close in videos like this, you know, where a parent is Facebook Living and taking their kids to the mosque. In real time, they're teaching children to hate Islam and Muslims. So, I mean, if it was, you know, an inverse of the situation, you know, Fox News would be taking the situation and running with it. I think most people, even, you know, both political parties, thankfully, you see people who are highly disturbed by the videos. You know, when you get children involved, even though we live in a time of great information about Islam and Muslims, you know, this I think, crossed a line for people on both sides of the coin.
Actually, going to the handler of Hate Watch, is it? Or Hate...
Hate Hurts? Or Hate...
Hate Hurts, maybe you will tell us a little bit about it. But there were so many people who even wanted to donate money.
Yes.
I mean, it just hit something with the larger public. I mean, a bookstore, an independent bookstore, a Jewish guy who says, I am giving you this money from my Jewish family, wanted very much to stress his Jewishness to show that, you know, this is unacceptable. Can you talk a little bit about Hate Hurts and the positive feedback from the larger community in Tempe, Arizona?
Yeah, so Hate Hurts was a campaign that we created at Care Arizona a few years ago. You know, as we saw the Trump campaign started to get ramped up around late 2015, and so in the aftermath of a few terror attacks like San Bernardino and Paris, there just became like this huge wave of hate crimes against Muslims, Arabs, Sikhs, South Asians, you know, people who are perceived as being Muslims or foreign. So, you know, I have a pretty decent social media following, so my Twitter feed became a sort of de facto tracking source for hate crimes during that time frame for journalists and activists to sort of see what was going on. And so what I did, I just formalized that into a website called hatehurts.net. We bought the domain, and so initially we were just tracking like the aftermath of, you know, just this wave of hate attacks that were taking place against all these different marginalized community underneath the umbrella of Islamophobia. And then it's evolved over time. You know, like, I think people needed to know the stories of what's happening with Islamophobia and you know, different sources of where it comes from. So we've tried to at least do something to elevate these stories. You know, there's stories where they're not getting ample media coverage. For example, like one example would be like Khalid Jabara in Oklahoma, mm-hmm. Arab American Christian who was murdered by his neighbor, and it wasn't being called a hate crime initially. And so we used this platform, using social media and, you know, using our reach to elevate the stories. And, you know, there's just been tons and tons of stories that have come out since then. And then we've also just started doing like video clips, you know, short educational video clips like you saw on our feed over here. It's @HateHurts_. And so you'll see, you know, these little short videos that sort of just give a good synopsis of what's happening. They're easy to share on social media, Facebook and Twitter as a whole. And so we're continuing to evolve the platform, you know, where we, you know, where there's going to be positive things that come out of it as well. We're collaborating with another civil rights organization called the Lawyers Committee in Washington, D.C., where we're actually going to be releasing some, you know, narrative videos about, you know, the victims of hate crimes in their past and, you know, sending them through a bystander intervention training to help know what to do if you're ever witnessing hate or witnessing any type of hate crimes, and what are the positive results of that. So that should be coming out in the next few weeks. And then, yeah, I mean, you know, through the social media, I think we've seen like a really good outpouring of support for the mosque and, you know, the Muslim community of Arizona as well. I think most people are deplored by this mm-hmm. type of action. Houses of worship should be off limits, and so that line needs to be drawn, and our communities need to stand up together in order to counteract this growing hate.
Thank you so much, Imran Siddiqui, for being on True Talk. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for the time.
So I'm going to be taking your phone calls in a minute or two. Again, the number is 813-239-9663, 813-239-9663. Some people sent messages to the DJ WMNF.org, like Robert, these ladies should be glad that ignorance isn't against the law. It's actually, it turns out that Robert, yes, it is, and they were arrested. I'm not sure if, because they took material from worship place. And then we have somebody who texted, Jennifer actually texted a message. Such rampant ignorance is exactly why I continue to teach world religions at UT. That's wonderful. And John wants a link to the video I played. I will do that. I will post it. Either I'll send it to you after the show, or I'm going to do that on Facebook. I will link it to our Facebook, True Talk Radio. When I come back, I'll be taking your phone calls. Listen a little bit to more of this disturbing video that these two ladies themselves uploaded to Facebook. It's not like, you know, we're doing this behind their back or anything. They were very, very proud of what they did. It gets much worse. Listen, this is True Talk on WMNF.
Josh, I gotta go take my gun, my, I have my backpack.
No,
go take it back, go take it back.
Why don't I just get it?
No, because... Go put it in.
Yes.
I'm watching you.
I'm grabbing to come in here.
Yeah.
I'm grabbing two of everything.
I had my, I had Betty on me, so I had to put Betty away.
There's stuff up here, there's information over there we need to go get to. I got those.
Oh, you already got everything?
Yeah.
Okay. Here, let me get baby away from... Okay.
Come on. They have their own fans outside.
We're gonna grab one. Oh, look at all of this stuff right here, right?
Yes.
We'll grab so many buttons.
The Muslim prayer.
They smell like goats.
They smell exactly, they smell like goats.
Look at this, you guys.
These are air fresheners.
Yeah. Look at that.
You're Islamic. You need those air fresheners.
We're gonna wipe poop all over all over these. Look at this crap in here.
Did you kick a Muslim prayer in?
I already, yep, I already got it.
Okay. I think I've grabbed one of everything. Now, let's run over here and I'll show you some more stuff.
All right, you guys.
Oh my gosh, Paul.
Oh yeah.
Don't let him in the playground.
Don't let him off, yeah. We don't know what kind of germs these. Look at this, you guys. Okay?
If you want to go to Mecca and worship the Antichrist?
Look at this, you guys.
Here's Deidre. Here's your girl.
Oh, look at Deidre. Look at. Running for Senate. The Muslim infiltration in America, you guys. Josh, get him. Do not let him touch anything here. Let me hold him. Give him time.
You can hear the children in the background. So sad to have these kids exposed to this type of hatred by their own mother. I hope, you know, somebody will talk some sense to them. Again, this is True Talk on WMNF. I'm going to take the phone calls as they arrived. I think the first caller was Marida from Wesley Chapel. Let me just open the phone lines. Good morning, you're on True Talk.
Hi, I would just like to say that I think it's wrong to call these women ladies. They are not by any definition ladies. And the second point I'd like to make is they have committed a type of child abuse, and I think they should be charged with that also. Thank you.
You're welcome. Also, if you watch the film, you notice that none of the kids were wearing seat belts. I'm not sure what's the rule in Tempe, Arizona, but I assume that kids have to wear seat belts. And the girl is very, very young. You know, it's very scary because they were driving without any seat belts. Let me go to John in Port Richey. Good morning, John.
Hey, thanks for the show. Before I ask my question, in that last video clip, it sounded like she pulled out a gun and gave it to somebody.
Okay. On the video, it says, like, when they go to the premise, this is the gate of the open gate of the mosque. It says no weapons are allowed in. So the lady has her weapon on her. So I think she either gave it to her daughter to take it back to the car or gave it
to the... How old was her daughter? Or how old do you think the daughter was?
The daughter looks like maybe six.
Okay, so
seven.
She handed a weapon to a six-year-old kid.
I can't absolutely verify that because I can hear her, and I think that's the name of either the boy or the girl, because already one woman was inside, and she's telling her, come in, come in, and she says no. Okay, maybe it was in her backpack. Okay, so she gave the
backpack.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'll have to watch the video, so I'm going to go look it up and see if I can find it, and I don't have access to Facebook, so I don't know if I can...
Do you have Twitter?
No, I don't do anything.
Okay, go to HateHurts, HateHurts.net, and you have the whole thing. Actually, obviously, these two women go to different places and do this, and they thought it was like funny, but I think it struck a chord, because if I play it more, it says we eat dogs, because her somebody opened the door at the mosque and a guy came out to talk to them, and her dog ran to this man, and he says, don't pet him, you eat dogs. Yeah. It gets worse.
But to my question that I really called in for is, because I've heard this a lot, that Sharia law is taking over America. I hear from Hannity and all the conservative talk show hosts. So I would like to ask the audience, because I'm not aware of any case in American court system where the judge actually cited Sharia law to make the case. Now, I'm sure they might have referenced it somewhere, but they didn't actually say, Sharia law says this, therefore I'm going to apply it to this case and come to my conclusion without using other facts in the case. So I would like to know anybody out there that, you know,
John,
I have limited knowledge of that.
Yeah, John, can I tell you, Sharia law means Islamic law, and it deals 75% with it, with issues related to marriage and divorce and alimony.
Like Jewish.
Yeah, exactly. So let's say the judge...
Well, I've seen cases where the judge will, when two Jewish people are getting divorced, they might reference something in the Torah, but they're not using that to make their ruling. They're using the constitutional laws that we have in this country. So that's the, you know, they're not using the Jewish law, they're using American law, but they reference the Torah or whatever. So I hear this all the time, and I would just like someone to give me the sources, you know. When they say this, just don't make a blanket statement just like, there it is. Cite the case. Okay, in Marbury versus Madison, the judges ruled, Sharia, you know, that's what I'm looking for, not this.
But even, John, if it does exist, it's usually about, let's say, God forbid, me and my husband divorce. In our marriage contract, other than the 50% that the American law gives me of the car, of our investment, blah, 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 blah. When we got married, there was a stipulation where in case of a divorce, my husband would give me 20,000 JDs, Jordanian dinars, which amount to almost close to $30,000. If my husband refuses to give me those $30,000 on top of everything the lawyer that might give me, then if I go and we are settling our divorce in a court, I can go to the judge and say, hey, look, this, I have translated my marriage contract. It is notarized by the American embassy in Jordan and notarized by the State Department, blah, 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 blah. It says on top of everything you're giving me, I have to get my $30,000. So it's up to the judge to decide that, no, or yes, okay, I'll give some other third.
I understand what
so you're this saying. Is not against American law or American constitution.
I understand that. But you're bringing up another point, is that actually you had a contract. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
So that has nothing to do. You might have used Sharia law in your contract, fine. But the court would say, that's a contractual agreement. You know, you have to abide by that. You know, as long as it doesn't violate the American law, you know, I don't see why they wouldn't go, that's a contractual thing, and not go, I mean, the judge may not go, well, if it's not in the contract, we're going to give you the $30,000 because it says so in the Sharia, which, okay, they're actually using the law to make a decision here. But like you said, those are usually in civil cases. So it's not really in criminal cases. It's not really taking the American society.
No, absolutely not.
Between two people with their religious and their faith in their personal life.
Yes, John.
But I'd like to see where it's being used in, like, something else that's not in somebody's personal life where it's actually being used as a civil case that would be ruled upon that would affect people at large. Like, if it's like the Supreme Court would come down and say, everybody has to wear whatever, a piece of clothing, and they point to whether it's a Jewish tax or a Muslim tax or a Hindu tax or any other tax that's not defined by American constitutional law.
Okay.
I don't think that exists, and that's my point, is these people keep saying this without having any documentation that this Sharia law is taking over America, and they're all scared of this when it's not happening. It's like they have no source of that. They have no proof of that. It's just that's what they think.
Okay, John, thank you so much. I really appreciate the phone call and the point that you raise. Again, this is 813-239-9663. We still have time to take your phone calls, 813-239-9663. I have Zebulon in Tampa. Good morning.
Good morning. The way they kept saying, look, they've got their own this and they've got their own that and they've got all their own, there's a jealousy element running through there. Economic self-sufficiency, you know, that's supposed to be the American dream. You know, you build up your community, you got your own stores, you got your own, you know, services. That's, you know, that's supposed to be what everyone wants in America, right? Run your own business, be an entrepreneur. And for them to be jealous of that is, to me, just so distasteful. I mean, it reminds me of what happened not even 100 years ago in Tulsa, Oklahoma with Black Wall Street, where black people had built up a huge economically self-sufficient community in Tulsa with their own lawyers and, you know, doctors and barbers and banks and, you know, everything. And a little incident that got blown out of proportion, which really in retrospect, as you look at it, wasn't even anything at all, provided a pretext for that entire community be burned down by a white mob. And in fact, they dumped gasoline bombs from airplanes on it with the sheriff's consent and the police's consent. So, you know, we have a really horrible history in America of white people who are jealous of other people, whether it's blacks or Muslims or whoever, having their own economic self-sufficiency and taking violent action against it. So I'm glad that this woman's little unauthorized tour.
She calls it Sharia raid. Thank you so much, Zebulon. Yeah, and then let me go to the DJ email, Robert. And Summer, please tell people that if they consider themselves environmentalist or compassionate people, they should go out of their way to eat halal or kosher food. I'm not religious, but I always try to buy because these foods are certified that the animal isn't experiencing any undue stress or pain. Thanks, love your show. Thank you, Rob, appreciate it. You can always send us wildlife to dj@wmnf.org and after the show to truetalk@wmnf.org. Halal food simply means lawful, that the person who is slaughtering the animal is not subjecting the animal into any stress, even seeing the knife or seeing another body animal being slaughtered. It's kosher. And by the way, all the lamb you buy from Publix is halal, and even Outback lamb is halal. It's just how Europe and Australia and New Zealand, they now just, when they have business with the rest of the Islamic world, it's a huge, it's a multi-billion dollar market. So all their food is slaughtered according to kosher and halal. You're eating it already. Let me go to Patty in Sarasota. Good morning, Patty.
Oh, good morning. Darn it, I'm driving.
Sorry to keep you all this time. If I knew you were driving, I would have...
Well, no, it's okay. I'm gonna try to pull over. Because what the man just said about the guy that called in about the jealousy, I called into one of the other shows, and I call it genetic jealousy. Because if you're a white, generic American, I don't mean to use that term, you know, negatively, but that's what I am. I think this whole movement and the white supremacists, they're just jealous. because instead of embracing different ethnic groups, their qualities and, you know, their food, which I love, and enjoying our differences, it's paranoia. And a friend of mine used to say that fear and anxiety cancels out intelligence. And I think when people don't understand, or even if they are a bit fearful, instead of panicking over it, you should say, well, you know, what is it I don't understand? But then the last thing I want to say, because I'm driving and my thoughts aren't organized. One last thing is I am a Christian, and I believe fully in Jesus. I believe, you know, that he's the Son of God, and that's my faith. So I have no fear or worry about interacting with anybody else. I want to know what they believe. I want to understand where they're coming from. And he's all about love and patience, which is the hardest thing on earth for me, with people in general. And that's all you should be focusing on, because if you're confident in who you believe in, let him teach you, and people will see whether it's true or not. So that's all I have to say, and I just think fear is just, you're not having faith.
Yes, thank you so much, Pat. I really appreciate the phone call, and I want to thank WMNF for giving us the chance to be live here. Do we have one more phone call? Okay, let's take it very quickly. Terry from Clearwater. Terry dropped us.
I'm still here.
Oh, you're still here. Okay, Terry, go ahead. Quickly, you have 30 seconds.
I just wanted to say that all your listeners should listen or read Plato's Allegory of the Cave from the Republic.
Okay, Terry.
Plato's Allegory of the Cave. It sums up everything you're trying to tell these people.
Thank you so much, Terry. I appreciate it. I will look into it. Here is the music by Farah Siraji. And I want to thank everybody for listening and tuning in. Let's listen for a few seconds. WMNF Tampa, NPR News is next.